This is part 13 of a salvation rest and a teaching rest. I am just going to go straight through it. I'm not going to make any tremendous comments, but it's front and back. Did you hear me about the funeral? Yeah, okay. Kenneth, quit shaking your head. I'm not talking to you. There's the rest we receive at salvation. And it's something that happens to people that come into the world. Some people never reach the age of accountability. Some people are born when they die. They die at birth, or they are die in the womb, and there's a lot of different ways that they die. But this is something that everybody goes through at one time or another. It reaches what is known as the age of accountability. You say, what is the age of accountability? It's when God first begins to convict a soul. They may be in any kind of a church, but God convicts everybody. There are no exceptions. And there's something that goes on inside the soul that's between God and that soul. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have that rest. Did I buy it? Did I purchase it? No, I didn't. It was given to me. The scribes and Pharisees thought they had rest, and they were perfectly satisfied to believe that God would send them a Messiah, and that Messiah would give them that rest. But when their Messiah came, he was not what they expected. There are a lot of people that are surprised now, and they're not quite sure what he expected. There's the rest we receive as he teaches us. They come into the world, and this happens. Matthew 11, 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I put the word from in there because that's a preposition, and it can mean of or from. The Bible says, study to show thyself unto prove unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, providing word of truth. So when a baby comes into the world, it doesn't know how to repent. It doesn't understand repentance. It comes into the world, and it's got one thing on its mind. What happened? What happened? Here I am. I don't have the same deal I had. This is awful. And he cries, or she cries. And I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I have rest in my soul. You say, who gave it to you? God. You say, well, were you any different when you came into the world that you didn't have to find that rest? No, I was no different. I had to find it. I'm well named. I was doubting Thomas. He wasn't there when the Lord came. And the disciples all saw the Lord. Thomas said, I will not believe unless you let me put my hand in his side. And the Lord told Thomas, he said, Thomas, because you have believed, he says, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet who have believed. There are a lot of doubting Thomases. They're not old to the Bible. They're very ancient. And there were people like that in that day. And there have been people in every age that simply did not want to understand that God opened revelation slowly. And he slowly taught down through the ages what he was talking about. And he held each generation acceptable that would do what he said. Satan rebelled against him. Satan is very real. He's not imaginary. And if you want to know where he is, he's all over the place. He's in a lot of hearts. He's in a lot of places. And he wants to do one thing. If you're already saved, he wants you to start believing. Maybe you're not. Maybe you didn't say it just right. Maybe it wasn't just exactly what you thought. And God wants to take away glory from God. He tries very hard, but Satan is not capable of doing it. But he can make you feel miserable because you think you can lose your salvation. I can't lose my salvation. It's not because it's not because I'm a righteous man. It's not because God gave me something that he didn't give anybody else. I came into this world as a baby. I don't remember being in the womb. I have no recollection of it whatsoever. And yet something happened to me, and all of a sudden, I knew who he was. There wasn't any question in my mind. You say, well, how did that happen? You're going to have to find that out for yourself. You're going to have to find that out for yourself. Now, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me or of me. Why did I put from in there? After you get saved, you're supposed to keep learning from God the rest of your life. You say, no, once I get all learned up and everything, I'll have it made. No, you'll be miserable. You'll be absolutely miserable because Satan has one goal in every person that's born. He does not want God to receive glory, period. That's it. Finally, old Doubting Thomas here. I didn't know I was a Doubting Thomas, but I was a Doubting Thomas. Now, I didn't know it. I can't even remember it. Often a shocking statement is made to get listeners to ask a question or questions when the questioner can answer directly or with another question he plans to answer. Now, if you're going to understand the Bible, you're going to have to study it. You're going to have to take the time to find out about yourself and what you need to know. You can't trust what I say, even though I tell you you can. You have got to find out for yourself. If you think it's easy to do what I do, you're out of your mind. You don't understand it at all, because it's something that I'm supposed to do. It's something I have to do. It's something that I have fought against all my life, because it's not a pleasant job. To pastor a church is not a an easy job. Unless you give in, you don't care whether you give glory to God or you give it to yourself. You don't care who receives it. Now, the question is a shocking statement that I'm going to ask you. John 6, 53 to 60. It's a long statement, but it's written down. You can keep this. John 6, 53 to 60. Then Jesus said unto them, he was talking to the disciples, verily, verily, truly, truly, all this I took directly from the language. I looked up every single word as it was written in that day. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. He says, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This has been a question that people have had to ask themselves. It doesn't matter what your father believed. It matters what God says. I've got this italicized because this is something Jesus said directly to the disciples. The disciples were followers. Now, this has been a thorn in my flesh ever since I was first convicted. And it has been a thorn in my flesh. And if I go back to believing that I can lose my salvation, I'm miserable. You go ahead and try it. It won't work. It will not work. He says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Drink God's blood? Drink God's blood? That's crazy. Oh, no, it's not. It's not crazy. He says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That means exactly what it says. Think about it. Do you believe that? The Catholics believe it. They believe it. So he, as the living Father hath sent me, what'd Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, you know, that happens to be true. It happens to be true. He said, as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I don't have any righteousness of my own. I've never had any righteousness of my own, except what God imputed to me. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, they believed that because Abraham was their father, that they were going to be just fine, and they could work out their own salvation. And when the Messiah came, it would always be there. You believe that? Can you hear me back there in the back? Can you? Well, good. He said, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Now remember, the book of Revelation is an opening of revelation. It's like, you see the Lord right here? No, all I see is your hand closed together. That's all I see. The book of Revelation is a book of revelation. It's a book of opening where you can see. I don't care what church you came from. Are you going to see what the truth is? Are you going to accept what the truth is? I'm a doubting Thomas. I ought to be able to explain this to you. There it is. It's right there in print. And he just made a long statement about it. What do you believe? You say, well, the church I came from believes blank, 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 blank. It matters what you believe about it. He says, and they are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I've eaten of that bread. You say, you think you're going to live forever? Yes. You say, well, whose righteousness are you going to live? What are you live by? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now notice what happened to his disciples. Many, therefore, of his disciples, doesn't say all of them, many, therefore, that's a conclusion. You can't get any better a conclusion than that. When they had heard this, said, this is a hard and hard saying. Who can hear it? They couldn't understand it. They had no idea what he was talking about. Because they all knew, and they were certain, that you had to be baptized to be saved. They were absolutely certain of it. But what kind of baptism? Well, it was a baptism that Abraham believed. It was a baptism that they all received. It was a baptism that saved the soul and made you eligible to understand what the Lord was talking about. Do you want to understand what the Lord is talking about? That's the question you have to answer. He says, who can hear it? Well, let's take a look at John 6, 61, 69. When Jesus knew in himself, when Jesus, I have this italicized, knew in himself, how could he know in himself? Only God can know in himself. That's what the disciples, that's what the people believe. That's what the Pharisees believe. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Well, does it? Does it offend you that Jesus was God himself? Does it offend you that Jesus was God himself? He was God himself. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? They saw him descend up where he was before. But where was Thomas? Where was old doubting Thomas? He wasn't there. You say, well, that was God's choosing. Was it? Are you sure it was God's choosing? You say, well, no. I am. Because the scribes and Pharisees thought they had righteousness. I was born and I didn't even know where I was when I was in my mother's womb. I had no idea whatsoever. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Your flesh doesn't profit anything. You say, well, my daddy taught me. I don't care what your daddy taught you. I do care. But what your daddy taught you, you're going to have to decide for yourself. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. How were you saved? He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. You were saved by the Spirit of God. Why were you saved by the Spirit of God? You were saved by the Spirit of God because the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. There's some of you sitting right here now that don't believe. You think you got this thing all figured out? Huh? You haven't got it all figured out. God has got it all figured out. And you must learn what God wanted to teach you. You say, well, I'm not willing to go through that. I like my way. Well, you may like your way. But if you're going to serve God, it's got to be in spirit and in truth. You've got to be in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God unless you're saved. You can be saved and still fail to worship God. He says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Do you think Thomas was not there by accident? Do you think that Thomas was not there by accident? He was not there by accident. He was there because he was meant to be there. Therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now notice what the disciples did. You think very highly of the disciples, don't you? But do you think highly of his righteousness? God told the disciples that it was very plain to him that he was the Messiah. And they did not believe him. A lot of you sitting here probably don't believe him, or may not believe him, I'll put it that way. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What about Thomas? Thomas, what about old Thomas? Huh? Old Thomas went along and said, he told Thomas, he said, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Have you believed? Do you believe that Thomas was there, not there for a purpose? He was not for a purpose. You think God operates in the dark? God operates in the light. He always has operated in the light. People say, well, I believe the gap theory. I believe Jesus was a little molecule out there and he exploded. Boom! And he went all over the universe. I'm a scientist. I went to all kinds of schools just to be sure that I was right about what I'm going to say. God is light. God has never been darkness. God is light. You say, well, you got to have all those planets out there so we can get light. See, you're putting conditions on God. God is light. He is light. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, listen to what he said. Will ye also go away? Ye is plural. He said, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's true. The temple is not built over the body of Peter. Never was. God is light. He is light. L-I-G-H-T. He's light. He didn't explode himself and go all over the universe. You say, well, you ought to study more. You don't believe how much I've studied. You don't know how much I've believed what God said and what I wanted to do, what He wanted me to do. I'm doing just exactly what I'm supposed to do. You say, well, are you still studying? Yeah, because I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And we believe that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That is exactly what I believe. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 6, 24 through 26. Let's go back up above that a little bit. We've just been through John 6, 61, 69. John 6, 24 through 26. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither the disciples. That's a different time. That's a different era. It's a different situation. If you're not willing to study to show yourself approved, you never will learn what it is. You'll decide from your pre-knowledge, and you'll never know. He says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, you know what Jesus did? He took the disciples in between here, and I don't know if he patted them on the bottom or not. I don't think he did, but he rushed them into the boat. He got them up in the boat because he wanted them to know. He wanted them to understand. For the life of me, when God called me to do what I do, I thought I was going to have enemies that were agnostics and non-believers. I never dreamed it was going to be the people that I had gone to school with, that I had informed with, that I had been with. I never dreamed that was the case. But I discovered something along the way. As I studied to show myself approved unto God, I realized more than I had ever known before. You say, well, are you the false prophet? No, I'm not the false prophet. You say, are you the one who was sent to free us? No, I'm not the one who was sent to free us. I am the man that God called to preach and teach just exactly what you're listening to right now. And believe me, it's not received with many different religions. I can't help that. It's what I must do and what I do. He said, what? We're going back before John 6, 69. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. What were they seeking for? Oh, they were seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side, they said unto him, Rabbi? That's a Hebrew word. It means master. It means master. They said, Master, whence comest thou hither? Listen to Jesus' answer. In italicized. It's italicized. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. They wanted to be able to do what he did. They wanted to be able to do it themselves. That's exactly what baptism is. Do it yourself. And it's not that way. Baptism is something that is applied, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat that endureth unto everlasting life. I am now, I think, ...86 years old. But as you can tell, I had to stop and think for a minute. You say, well, you must not be from God. And that proves I'm from God. You've been listening to this. I've been trying to explain to you what Jesus said and what he meant. And I've been trying to do it because I love you. I care for you. You say, well, where'd you get that care from? From God. Why did he give it to you? Because you need to consider this. He said, but that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. That's the only righteousness I have. For him hath God the Father sealed. I finally realized that I don't have any righteousness. You say, well, no, you got to have some righteousness. I do have some. You say, where did it come from? It came from Jesus. You say, well, where did he get his? Well, I tell you where he got it. Paul said and told us and told the people, he said, that the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is they don't all believe like I believe. He said, what shall we do? Notice what they said. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What did he tell them? Back to italicized. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye might believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou them? What do you show them? Why did they want to believe? That me way see and believe thee. What dost thou work? He said, show us. He said, what do thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Verily, verily, I am bread. Verily, verily, I gave them bread from heaven to eat. For Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you that true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I have his righteousness. I have his righteousness. You say, well, you just got through telling us that you got to have. I have his righteousness because he gave it to me. Now, that's it. You say, well, you just look to me like a little scraggy fella sitting down there, and why should I believe you? You should believe what he said. Then said they, unto him, Lord, forever, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, these are the words of Jesus, I am the bread of life. All the disciples left. They had gone. What was the deal? He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. They didn't believe. If you're going to worship God in spirit and truth, you better believe what he says. I don't care where you came from or what church you attended. I want to know what you believe right now. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I came to Jesus. I came directly to Jesus. And I had tried to get people to believe me. But my main opposition came from my own brethren. It did not come from a lot of other people. I want to ask you right now, what do you believe? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now notice in Luke 21:5-12, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, the words of Luke, that he was given to deliver. As for these things which ye beheld, the days will come when there shall not be left one stone upon another. What did the Lord say to these people? He said, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They wanted something. What they wanted was something they could do with their own hands, something that they could perform with their own hands. That's what they wanted. That is exactly what they wanted. Master, but when shall these things be? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. If you think there aren't many deceivers in the world, you're quite wrong. They are here, and they are alive, and they are well. You say, well, do you think they're all going to hell? No. Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not by and by. He said, that doesn't mean the end is by and by. He said, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You're sitting here listening to this. I don't know what your reaction is to it. I have no idea what your reaction is to it. Don't want to know what your reaction is to it. But I want you to understand one thing, and you better understand it well. You're going to see great earthquakes in divers places. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Notice what I've got underlined. But before all these, what he just finished talking about in verse 11, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my sake. Don't you think I've been aware of this all this time? Don't you think I've known what it meant? Yes, I have. But I have never known what day the Lord was coming back, what week, what month, what year. I've never known. Matthew 5:10-11. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Whose righteousness do you have? Whose righteousness do you have? Your own? Or the righteousness to those who have the kingdom of heaven? Blessed are ye. Blessed are ye when men shall persecute, shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets that were before you. I'm telling you, I'm warning you, I'm putting it in a straightforward manner. You better get your heart and life right with God. You say, I can't make that decision for you. I don't want to make that decision for you. It's not my place to make that decision. The decision is yours. You have the word. I've preached it to you. You've got to make the choice. Are you going to follow God? Or are you going to follow Satan? Which one do you want to follow? You've got to decide. You say, well, I've already decided. I can't help you. I can't help you. If you've already decided, there's nothing I can do. I do not want to do anything, because I am here to preach and teach what God said, and that is precisely what I'm trying to do. The rest of it is in your hands. It's not in mine. I want you to think this over, because it makes a lot of... Heavenly Father, help them to understand. I know you do, and I know you care. But Lord, they seem so hard in heart. And Lord, I'm hard in heart. But I know what I've told them is the truth. Forgive us now and let us go to our houses. and think over what they've heard. These things I ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.